Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My mum didn't let me drink Evian water yet when I was little because it was, Evian is the word naive spot backwards.
No. How did your mum like believe in all that?
Oh yeah, she's very spiritual.
Wow.
Very spiritual / hyper political.
Wow.
Which is an incredible blend.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
She's kind of like, oh yeah, Boris Johnson gonna be prime minister? Well, I've got a couple spells for that. You know? She'll be at a protest going like, I'm joking. I made that up. But I mean,
casting
she is.
Her beauty.
Well, she's that close to being a witch. I mean, she should be. She is a witch, really. I suppose, in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
But I think, like, she should embrace that side. I think she's cooped up in the politics of it. I think she should go back to her crystal based, charm orientated roots. You know what I mean?
Well, like, so it's like certainly on trend at the moment.
What, to be a
crystals
witch?
Crystals and.
It's always been on trend.
Mm.
It's never gone out of trend. No, people have more of an inclination to I think, return to the spiritual way of being because everything's so fucking scientific.
Yeah, but also I'd argue that people are always on the search for something yeah. bigger and better and more than them, and it offers a comfort.
Yeah,
especially in this, I don't know, I feel like the world's in crisis. Maybe always has been, actually.
Definitely.
But certainly it's more apparent now.
Yeah.
Than ever before, I'd say. And people need something. People need something to believe in.
Fitzgerald says, religion's for people who want to go to heaven, spirituality's for those who've been through hell.
Yeah. Mate, I'm sorry, but, like, are your lips made out of asbestos? I've, like, been nursing my coffee for a little bit. I'm, like,
yeah.
blowing it. And you just whacked that down.
Yeah, I'm a thrill seeker. Honestly, I live life on the edge, man.
Just waiting for the blisters to just rise on your lips.
The amount of time I've burnt my mouth on food. I'm so impatient. Right. Ah, yum.
Yum.
Okay, AJ.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
I really appreciate you coming down. Do you know about the podcast?
I do.
You don't have to lie.
No, I've listened to it.
Don't lie.
Genuinely, I have.
Oh, well, I'm glad you listened to The Whole Truth before. That's good.
It's been really helpful for me, actually.
Has it?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Tips from other people. And also, I think just reassurance that, you know,
other people are going through shit.
Yeah. Mm. And people from all walks of life, the wealthy, the successful, the plus, like, different shapes, different sizes, different backgrounds and heritage and just everything, everyone.
Mental health struggles don't discriminate.
Really just going through it.
And they're all subjective, yeah.
Not that you want anyone to suffer, but it is reassuring where you're like, I'm not alone.
Well, I think if there's one thing to, I think I've gained from all this understanding, from what I've experienced and spoken to people, I don't know, man, I feel like struggle is a really important part of life, actually.
Mm.
As long as you develop As long as you develop as a result of them, I think it just gets hard when those struggles beat you up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the toughest thing.
Mm.
Do you feel like you're struggling at the moment?
I, at the moment, actually feel the happiest I've ever felt.
Really?
Before. Yeah, I'm in a really good, like, headspace.
No one wants to hear that.
Yeah, I know.
No one wants to hear that. Soz. No, I'm joking.
But do you know what? I actually... I feel good and I feel proud that I feel good as well.
That's very good. It sounds as though you feel good, that the pride indicates you previously didn't feel so good.
Exactly. And I feel like when you've been to
hell
and the pits in your mind,
the bottom,
the darkness, and then you eventually see some light, it's amazing. And you do want to celebrate it and you do want to be proud about it and be like, oh my gosh, guys.
How recent is this turnaround?
I feel like it's constant. It's like a, you know.
Comes in waves.
Yeah, exactly. However, I'd say like the worst, then I go through different spells, but 7 years ago, I had a really bad episode. And then when I turned 30, so like 29 and a half, I'm 31 now. But when I turned 30, I felt like I had an absolute crisis as well. It's quite interesting because I think because I'm an extrovert and I'm loud and I am confident in that respect, people always just think that everything is top notch when really I've got my own internal battles ongoing all of the time. And I think that confidence is not something that you're born with, but you practice.
Yeah.
It's almost something that I practice and tell myself that, you know, you are strong, you are great, you are resilient, you can bounce back, you can cope with failure, you can cope with rejection. And it's a thing that I have to tell myself every day, because the second you stop believing it, that's when everything spirals out of control.
Definitely. And what do you think? But it's, I think that's one of the biggest struggles that people face is believing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe in positive mental attitude then? Just like actually creating, even if you don't really believe, like, fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Yeah, I do.
I think I believe in that.
I do to an extent, yeah. But I do. I'd say I do, yeah. Because I think you can only shield yourself from the rejection of others when you have bounced back yourself.
Yeah.
You have it inside you to be like, no, they're wrong. They're wrong. But the second you start to go, actually, maybe they are right. Actually, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I am worthless. Maybe I am this. Maybe I am that. The second you lose that in your head, then you're gone and you can only bounce back by yourself.
Do you think?
I think you need to be ready in your head. I can tell you, Jordan, you're amazing, you're successful, you're gorgeous, you're this, you're that. If you don't believe it, it doesn't matter.
Not
even taking it in. I'm just saying words. You know, you really need to like back yourself.
Especially in our modern society.
Yeah.
I think you have to... Yeah, one would argue that kind of modesty might even be dead.
What?
Humility.
Mm.
I feel like you have to pitch yourself a bit more. Not in a bad way. I feel like, or maybe not actually. No, it's not true. You can be. What's the word?
Humble.
Humble.
Mm. Yeah.
You can be humble. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do feel like...
But I feel like I've teach myself not to shrink.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because I feel like I've been brought up, if anything, a bit hyper-modest. You know, where like, you know, you don't speak too much of your achievements. Like,
yeah.
You don't... Not to celebrate anything.
Yeah. It's... That could be partly to do with your background and your, you know, the way that you was brought up, but also society. Like... In the UK, we are very self-deprecating and it's a gift when it comes to our sense of humour, but it's also a curse when it comes to actually, you know, celebrating all of the amazing things that we have done.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes to, you know, really, how can you suddenly turn around and start celebrating yourself, you know, in a time of crisis when your whole life you've been taught at school, at work, at home, to just not be too much, chill it out. You know, I've had that my whole life. It's always been, you're too loud, you're too opinionated, you ask too many questions. Oh, it's always like, be quiet, essentially. Yeah. You need to pipe down. And, you know, and then, you know, you, that's in school, that's in college, that's at uni, yeah. You know, that's in the workplace. And it's just, it's a constant thing. So when you, you know, have a, almost like a bit of a breakdown,
yeah.
Then everyone goes, no, you need to back yourself. You need to be confident. You need to, you know, you've lost yourself a bit. And it's like, yeah, you've all got to me.
Yeah.
Like, you've been telling me to shut up all this time.
Yeah, trust me.
And I've just suddenly listened. And now I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean?
Damn.
Yeah, it's deep.
So would you say that then that you're, because I'm 27 now.
Yeah.
And something's changing.
In a good way or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just like, I feel like a rumble of, like, I feel almost like just, you know that game Boggle?
Yeah, I love the game Boggle.
Hit it and the letters change. Yeah. It's feel a bit like that. That's like it's just gone dong. And actually, isn't it, hold on, isn't the whole thing at 28, like scientifically, all the cells in your body have changed again anyway? Do you know about this?
No.
Every cell in your body changes every 7 years.
I did not know that.
You're literally a different person, scientifically.
Wow.
So like, 7, 14, 21, 28 and 35 are years where a lot of people at least begin a transition or feel different because they literally are a different person.
Wow.
But they have the same personality. We won't get too existential on
right now.
But what's my question? Yeah, I feel like a shift in some way because, yeah, you know, you're heading towards like, I'd say the start, I believe I'm heading towards really the start of my life, you know, even though you feel like you've been, I don't know, I just don't feel like it's really... But you mentioned that you struggled around this age.
Yeah.
And so would you say that was... around this time was your worst period of mental well-being, or was that
my worst period of mental well-being? Genuinely, it was 7 years ago. Yeah, 6-7 years ago. So,
what,
24. I'd been going out with this guy who I was like, he is the love of my life.
Right,
he's amazing, and I really, yeah, I think. You know, just working in TV for so many years, it's great, but it's so up and down. Mm, and
temperamental, yeah.
Temperamental. And, you know, one minute you're booked and busy and the next minute you're not. And it's just stressful financially, emotionally. And so as a result, I really do value my family and my friends and my partners. Yeah. I'm literally like, they're my constant network of support that I need.
Yeah.
And I really depend on them.
Yeah.
And when I let someone in and I fall in love with that person, I'm like, I'm in.
All the way in.
Wow. And I was all the way in with this guy. I thought he was the one. Really? I was like, he is my guy. And we had like the best time together. And then also at that time, I started presenting Big Brother's Bit on the Side on Channel 5. It was like a dream job of mine. I've been presenting for some years beforehand, but never, you know, prime time, never Saturday night, never with a live studio audience, never with autocue, never with talkback, never with all of the things put together.
Big boy
never
stuff.
With like celebrity guests, never. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is wicked. And I did that. I did the celebrity version and the civilian version, they call it. So
really?
I did both of those.
Civilian version.
I know. Bananas, but the civilians and the celebrities. So I did...
Civilians.
Yeah. So I did two series and I loved it. It was just great. And they didn't renew my contract. And... honestly, it was just...
heartbreaking.
Oh, I was so sad.
Who took over from you?
No one.
Oh.
They just kept it. So I was co-presenting with Rylan Clark at the time, and they just kept it Rylan. And I was absolutely devastated. And again, everyone could say nice things. Rylan was saying nice things. Oh, gutted for you. Emma Willis was being really supportive. All of my friends and family were being supportive. But I was like... No, man, I'm just sad. Let me just be sad. I'm sad. I wanted that job again. Yeah. I didn't get it. And I'm gutted. And I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you visualize. You try not to get ahead of yourself in terms of contracts. But you always do, at the back of your mind, think, oh, if this goes well, this would be me for the next 5 years. Yeah. And then this, you and then that. And you up. Just, yeah, you can't help but, you know, and might visualize your life 5 years from then. And it looked good. But it got cut short and I was absolutely devastated.
Yeah, I can understand.
I remember at the time I was like, it's fine, you know, at least I've got good family, good friends, and a really supportive boyfriend. And then I went back and I caught my boyfriend in bed with someone else.
No!
Yes, Jordan. And it was just like, can you imagine? It's like, you're two
girls. I heard you, really, did you speak about this on, whose podcast did I hear you on? Was it Russell?
Russell Kane.
Yeah.
Oh, he's funny. He like takes the mick out of me, but it's quite like, you know. And
that's like from a, that feels like it's from like an early noughties like pop song.
It's mad, isn't it? It's literally
it's like a music video.
Yeah. It's like...
In your house?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's just like awful.
Yeah,
essentially.
Of course.
And honestly, it took years for me to even be able to like, not only recover, but even to just say it out loud. Like,
babe,
if this was years ago, I would never say this without bursting into tears.
Yeah, of course.
I couldn't even finish
that's
a sentence.
Traumatic.
So traumatic.
Because there was no... Like, just nothing. You didn't even sense it.
No.
It was just like blanket, boom, like so much to process.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to process. You think that your job's going well, and then it's not. And then you think that your love life's
going
well.
Was there a third thing? It normally comes in threes, isn't it?
It normally comes in threes, but I think...
It was just the two.
I think it was just the two. That was enough. Someone was looking down at me and was like, do you know what? That's... She'll be able to handle that.
I love it if there's a third thing, but you never realise.
Yeah, probably.
Like you were just at one point just like throwing something out the window and just like killed a walker by, but you just didn't realise she was trying to sell other things. So, that's really fucking shit.
Yeah.
That's really shit.
It was really bad. So I'd say that was the worst period of my life.
Was there any closure in that scenario? Did you just cut off?
No, there was no closure. There was no just reason why. There was no explanation. And even in the world of TV as well, you sort of go, why can't I do the next series? And they're like, I just don't think it's right for you at this time. We think you're great, but we just don't think it's right for you at this time. And you're like, what? And then, you know, your boyfriend is going, I think you're amazing. It was a mistake, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, what? This is, nothing's making any sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And that's why I was saying to you earlier, I don't listen to the words of people. I just observe actions. That's all I'm interested in. You know, that guy said to me, he loved me, I'm his world, blah, 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 blah. But your actions suggest otherwise.
I mean,
and even, you know, my boss is going, you're amazing, you're this, you're that. But your actions are suggesting otherwise.
Yeah.
So I only go from what people do.
Yeah.
And that's all you can actually trust.
Actions speak louder than words.
They really
do. Although saying something is technically an action too. It's important to put an energy out there, but you are right. Mm. I think it's easy to think the work is done by empty promises are like my greatest fear.
Yeah.
Well, not even the greatest fear. It's even sadder than that. Mm. They're what I expect.
That is sad.
That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is
because actually, and why I was saying that I'm in a positive frame of mind now, and I feel really proud of myself for it, is because I've seen, you know, people go through things like this, and they can't, I've not seen them come back. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
I'm like, oh my gosh. Or even say, for example, in terms of relationships.
For anyone going through this, by the way, you definitely can come
back. You can bounce back. Like, you really, really can. Yeah. Even with relationships, for example, I still trust people. I've got no trust issues.
Good.
And I just believe that was a real thing for me. I was like, I've got to be able to get to a place
where... Of course, because then it's just, you end up manifesting it.
Exactly.
It's the worst.
I can't be doing with that. Like, not everyone is going to cheat on you. Not everyone's going to make you feel bad. And you're not always, you know, like, at the end of the day, you will face rejection and people will let you down. And that's sadly and like the nature of the beast.
The frustrating reality that no one's actions are really anything to do with you.
With you,
which
exactly.
is a very especially in the context of a relationship, it's quite hard to rationalise that, but it is true.
Yeah.
It's all a reflection of someone else's story.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I would say to anyone going through anything is just like actually really give yourself time to heal, because my way out of that, you know, darkness essentially was moping around for a little bit. I had to do it. I didn't do any auditions or do any TV meetings for a while. I stopped for a little bit. Yeah.
And when you went back to it after, sorry, what were you saying?
My younger sister at the time, she lived in Spain. I almost ran away. I ran away to Spain for a month. I was like, I'm just going to stay here. And then I went to Blackburn and saw my mum and just stayed at her house for a month. I just needed to be out of London. I needed to be away from all of this. What I felt was like a lot of negative energy. I was like, every time I'm here, I feel bad. So I escaped for a little bit. And then when I did come back, my best mate, Chris, he was like, AJ, you just need to focus. You just need to focus on what currently makes you happy. Yeah. So don't think about the future. Don't think about being in a relationship. Stop thinking about your next job. Stop thinking about when your next paycheck's going to come in. Literally go, what makes you feel good? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what makes me feel good. I feel sad all the time. And he was like, running. You really like exercising, you do. You love it. Let's go to the gym. Exercise. And me and him just like went to the gym. Change and then he said that, you know, he set me up a blog. He's a graphics designer. He was like, yeah, you should just write about fitness. Just do that. And I started the blog. And then I got obsessed with personal training. Like one of my personal trainers, she was this really short Polish woman and really petite, but she was so strong and I got obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you get so strong? I don't understand. And she was like, oh, I did this personal training course. So then I did a personal training course and I became qualified in personal training. Then I got really into the food side. And actually it was so weird because what I then created, I didn't realize it at the time, but I created like my own little world of positivity and just being surrounded by people who were striving to just be a better version of themselves. And that was it. And then weirdly, I got loads of like fitness campaigns, started working it like with Nike and Adidas. And that, in a weird way, like brought me back to TV. I had to get my confidence all the way back up.
How long did it take? It
took two and a half years. Yeah.
That's inspiring though, man.
Yeah, it took about two and a half years. It took like really 3 years later, that's when I started working at 4Music. But I didn't really have a TV job from Big Brother until 3 years later. How mad is that?
I mean, yeah, that's three years is going to the point of like, what the fuck, isn't it?
She's gone.
But I mean, I haven't released any music in about 3 years, but that's kind of more of out of choice.
Yeah. But that's what...
It happens, though.
You need to do it.
No, I am. I'm going to release music next month, actually, but...
No, I don't mean you need to release music. I just mean you need to take your own time.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean...
Everyone wants everything now, 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 and you're like, I'm not ready. It'll come when it's ready.
It's hard, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I constantly battle with the desire to just disappear.
Literally,
I always want to just go away.
Yeah.
Like, just be... I don't know. It's always this fantasy, isn't it? That it's just going to kind of sit in a hut on a cliff.
Yeah.
Just gaze into the sea and then have epiphanies.
Yeah.
For a month with my dog.
Exactly. But even that...
My girlfriend would be a little bit like, what are you saying?
I think it's a really... It's very aspirational. I want to do it as well. But also it's kind of very... it's very privileged.
Yeah, of course, to have you the know, time.
Who can just take a month out and disappear and just sit and just, you know, that's what my mum does remind me of, actually. So again, my parents, Nigerian, both from poor backgrounds. And then we are very like working class, like growing up. So my mum was a cleaner. My dad was a joiner and later became a bus conductor. And yeah, she will say to me, you can't just be in Spain for a month. Not everyone can do that, you know. Like, look at how, bless you, but look at how lucky you are. And that's the thing, like, we forget to count
gratitude.
Our blessings.
Yeah, listen, of course. But it's, sometimes it's hard.
It's really hard.
It's hard. You know, like...
I know, yeah.
That thing of not feeling, like, happy is even a possibility, man. That's hard, man. I remember being at my lowest and getting... was it acupuncture?
Mm.
And it was I've literally ran away to Brazil to try and heal myself with my uncle. Mm. And the guy was like, imagine your happy place, you know, and I literally just couldn't. It was like the scariest feeling. Yeah. He's like, think of something happy. He was like, he was trying to measure my mindfulness. And then after that, he literally was like he said, I can't help you. Imagine that. He was like you need to seriously look at some professional help. Some proper, not obviously he's professional, but like some further help, maybe medical, because he was like, you're actually too sad.
Oh my
Imagine
God.
Imagine hearing that.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I know. I think he was just more worried about me, but it's because there's like a really dark, incessant thing you got to battle through. And exercise, you know, like I think nearly with everyone, there is a physical, what I find with mental health is there's always a physical truth that is devoid of thought.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, all your mind's going to do is tell you that's not true. But like, they're literally, there's like all of this that goes on up here and like, and you know, what's in your gut and what you feel in your gut will inform what's going on up here. But it's like, sometimes a situation will happen where you get really stressed and your body just emits cortisol and it's just stuck in your body. And then because it's stuck in your body, your mind goes like, oh, you know, I feel sad, I can't move, da da da. And sometimes I get into those mind states. I literally play one football match and I feel happy.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you just moved something that isn't even thought. Yeah. It's just do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, although it came out earlier this year, I went to Chile, the middle of the Andes Mountains in South America, and I took part in this show called Celebrity SAS Who Does Wins, right? On Channel 4. An incredible show. It's the hardest thing I have ever done.
With Jason Fox?
Jason Fox, Hamilton, Billy, Ollie. Yeah.
Jason's lovely. I love that guy.
Just...
Was he a bit hardcore?
The best.
Okay, cool.
Like, they're amazing. But it's weird because essentially they're the four, you know, main presenters and they've really lived a life and they're putting us through our paces. They are, you know, ex-special forces and, you know, putting us all on this course to see whether we can really, you know, go through it.
Yeah.
You know, show us what we're made of, so to speak. And... it was weird because after we did finish, they're all really nice to us. Yeah. And it was weird. It was like being spoken to by like your head teacher, trying to be your mate. You're like, this is weird. But it was an incredible experience, but really brutal, actually. Really, really brutal. I've never cried so much.
Really?
I've never been so scared. I've never been in so much physical pain.
Oh,
and there's this interrogation, which is the worst, and the interrogation is where they blindfold you. This is after like you're sleep deprived, you're food deprived, your body's absolutely battered, and again in your head you're just thinking, I can't do another day, I absolutely can't. And then they kidnap you and they put you in like really this overall, which is just absolutely freezing. They cut your shoelaces, you've got no socks on, it's Baltic, and they put you in stress positions. So that could be like you squatting with your arms over your head or anything like that for hours, 13 consecutive hours, whilst they're playing awful sounds in your ears, really, really loud. They blindfolded you, like they put a bag over your head, you feel panicked, and it's hell. I've never experienced it. Anything like that. But I honestly, at one point, was hallucinating and thought I was in hell getting whipped by the actual devil. I was burning.
Wow.
I was burning. I was like, this is awful.
Do they offer you therapy after these?
Yeah. And how arrogant of me. I was like, guys, I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I do not need a therapist. And then on the flight back.
Night terrors.
Yeah. Literally, anytime anyone pushed past me, I'd jump up. Couldn't sleep with the light off for 2.5 months. Couldn't have headphones in for a couple of months. I was like, so jumpy.
Wow.
So jumpy. Yeah. Weird.
Wow.
But again, if you can go through that, and come out the other side, you feel invincible. And yeah. I think that is honestly one of the reasons, that shows one of the reasons why I do feel
so
like in such a good frame of mind right now. It's very helpful.
Discomfort. Yeah. It's how your pain is growth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pig.
I feel like...
Pig gang. I'm going to start a team called Pig.
Pig.
Pain is growth.
Pain is growth. It is.
We've heard it here first. Pig gang. Oink.
It is. I genuinely do believe that you can turn pain into power and you can turn, you know, fear into
It's the only
force.
Way, though.
Yeah.
It's literally the only way. Mm. I don't understand how you can grow without... Do you know what I mean? You have to have an obstacle in somewhere. Otherwise, I think people who kind of... I feel as though if you were to be able to navigate life devoid, like without any pain, free of pain, like being able to avoid pain, which is impossible.
Look at you.
Which is impossible.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet that person.
Do you know what I mean? No, but like, yeah. But the whole point is that grief, for example, is a universal language. The chances that you're going to live your entire life and not lose a parent or an animal or a friend or like a lover, it's kind of so the sooner you feel that pain, the quicker you build up a resilience and an understanding and a compassion and an empathy, you know.
It's
really important, because now when you're talking to me about these dark times, I can feel a reflection of my own experience and then understand that more. Whereas, you know, that's...
Had you not, you'd just be completely ignorant or...
That's why I think there's sometimes...
Oblivious to it, yeah.
Yeah. Which we could then stem into, I don't know, maybe political scenarios. I feel like that's why some politicians lack empathy, because...
Yeah. Well,
their lives have been...
They're not in the real world.
Well,
sometimes they're not.
You know, if your biggest danger is running through a field of wheat, like... You're not really going to have empathy for people who live on an estate.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I think it is. But it's a very, very difficult thing to get your head around.
Mm.
I just listened to Chris Rock's got a new stand-up on Netflix.
Right.
And he makes a point that he said that he doesn't like the fact that his daughter's school has an anti-bullying policy. I'm the whole campaign begun with targeting stigma around mental health and essentially creating a safe space for people to be able to talk about it. But it was interesting because a couple of times I've, off the back of that or through work I've done around masculinity, I've spoken to kids in school. And, you know, like, I have even said in those contexts when their kids have been like, oh, yeah, you know, this person said this or that, da, da, da. I'm like, look, you should never feel afraid to be yourself. But if you want a real secret... like, you're better off being bullied now.
Because it's coming at some point.
Bruv.
It's happening at some point.
Bruv, like, it's for real.
I was just like,
you want to be you, because right now you're being off, like, obviously within reason, it can get extreme, but I mean, you want to be you, because this sense of injustice will drive you. Whereas I've seen boys unfortunate enough to have been bullies all through school and...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They're not doing anything right now because...
Yeah, the bullies never prosper. Bullies never prosper. I'm telling you.
But the joke Chris Rock makes is like, they're like bullies. Bullies are responsible for like half of a child's growth. Like they should almost be employed. It's like half is the teacher and the other half are bullies. Like,
I need to watch it.
It's so funny. He says, like, do you reckon Bill Gates didn't get bullied in school? It's like he just walked around normally. They're like, hey Gates, fuck you, Gates. I'm gonna put you through a gate, Gates. What are you? Oh, look at you with your windmills, you stupid Gates. Bill's stupid. Stuart fucking Gates. I just came up for ages. Like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Like Mark fucking Fuckerberg.
It's true. But
it is. Like, I swear, like, I don't know. I'm sure there are some examples of even people who have felt as though they've had some established hierarchy at school and gone on to like earn money, they've had to humble themselves at some point. I just like bullies being bullies their whole lives. I mean, even. I don't know. Listen, there's a small proportion of people who obviously will continue or turn into bullies in some extent. But if you're resilient from young and you understand, like I say, discomfort, the benefits of pain,
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Sometimes in interviews, they'll say, how do you keep yourself grounded? Is it your family? Is it your friends? And I'm like, nah, man, they're the ones who keep me up. I feel like there's a lot of people to keep you down. And actually, just going back to school and, you know, even being from Blackburn, it's a place that I absolutely love and I still visit to this day. My mum's still in Blackburn. I've got friends still in Blackburn. But... yeah, man, it was hard growing up there. We're like one of the few black people in Blackburn, so that's like difficult in itself. Our names as well, fully Nigerian. I don't have a middle name like Claire or anything like that, so that is what it is. And, you know, kids say they think, but then the parents of children are even worse. And it's just ongoing. And I even feel, in a weird way, lucky. Because all of the things that I went through personally, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did my big sister go through? She's 14 years older than me. Like, what did my big brother go through?
What,
like,
they've been there from that long?
Yeah.
Why Blackburn?
Yeah, I know. Why? No, I love Blackburn. But basically, my dad was studying there.
Right.
Studying in Lancashire. My parents had an arranged marriage. My mum came to join him in Blackburn. And she was like, your dad told me 5 years. And then, yeah.
Wow, and then
over 50 years later, they're still there.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay. But like...
it's hard, but...
I can't imagine, was it a lot of abuse as a kid?
Yeah, but this is, I mean, honestly, really, I'm like, my parents and my older siblings, they're like so impressive, really, because I'd come back from school and say certain things and my mum would just be like, yeah, but they're idiots. Do you mean? Like, they're idiots. You can't be listening to this. Like, who's listening to this? Scary things would happen. Like, you know, like, say, for example, I'd get spat on. That's gross. And then my mum would be like, they're disgusting. Just wash yourself.
Seriously?
It's bad. Or I remember there was this guy's parents would set their dog on me. So if I walked past... they had a massive Alsatian and they just get it to chase me. How bad is that? It's so traumatic. Like things like that I remember and I'm like, oh my word. Like it's so bad.
But look what you've done. You've come and fucking won. You win.
Yeah, but I think sometimes that's why you've got to have your family.
Oh,
like,
mate,
your family aren't like
it
there to like
so much.
I don't know, like sometimes your friends and family, they really need to pick you up because there's so many people at school, people down the road to like bring you down. There's a lot going on.
Yes.
So
you need fans, mate.
Yeah, you're like, who's championing me? Please?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? 100%.
Yeah.
Especially when you got fucking donuts like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly
tough.
But then again, when you come through the other side and despite that, you know, abuse that you've suffered or racial abuse that you've suffered, or just, you know, feeling of other, but you've gone through that, but yet you don't treat people like that.
Well, you were... Yeah,
then you're like,
not.
Great.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
That's powerful though, because often bullies have been bullied, you know? So again, props to you. I mean, it's a shame. That's hard, man. I can't imagine. I mean, I went to secondary school in Brighton and, you know, that was it's a reasonably open-minded city. But yeah. Even then, yeah. Playing Sunday league football and stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like we're conditioned in Britain to just, like, be quiet about it.
Get on with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've called you that name, like, deal with it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, people.
Yeah, just banter. Just banter. Be like,
that is wild. yeah, I even still feel a bit guilty for even saying it. That's what I mean about shrinking. Sometimes I feel guilty for even being honest about, like, how confusing that is.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. But what was I going to say? Right, so during that time when you were younger, though, were you aware of the connection between how you felt and, like, your mental health? Did you think...
No, not at all.
In Nigerian culture, isn't mental health a little bit of a taboo?
Yeah, 100%. Like, say, for example, I growing up, I had a stammer. And so I had a stammer as a young child. So I went to speech therapy. And actually, speech therapy was really fun. I loved it. You just look at this picture book and they tell you to say these words. So they'd be like, just literally say what you see, say what you see. And it's obviously with the stammer, they always pick the difficult ones. So you start off really easy. So they'll be like, cat. And then it gets harder. And even still to this day, I know words that I still struggle with. So it's like soldier, sausage, like things like that. But she'd like flick quickly.
What was it? Was the stammer?
It was anything with a stir. That would be like my trip up points. So anything that. Yeah, I'll still, like, struggle or I'll take a pause sometimes and go...
Sausages.
Take a breath and then go, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. But again, even that, things like that, my parents are like, it's fine, she'll grow out of it. And a doctor needs to say... No. She won't. She needs to go to see a therapist. Do you know what I mean? Or say, for example, reading and writing, not my forte. Just so long for me to put everything together. And especially out of all of my brothers and sisters, my family are actually very academically gifted, I'd say. The word dyslexia, it was just like, she's not dyslexic. Stop saying that she's dyslexic. There's nothing wrong with her. It just takes longer. Actually, yeah, they don't like labels. That's one thing. We just do not do labels. And actually, on the one hand, it's not good because you're like, come on, I could be getting extra help here.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's good because... There's no excuses. I've never been brought up to have an excuse for anything. It's like, look, sometimes it takes people longer to do things or longer to learn things. It's harder for you. And, you know, we're not going to put a label on the reason why, but it's just harder to just crack on. So I've sort of been brought up with that tough love mentality.
Do you agree with that now, though? Do you think it, or just should there be some balance?
I think balance is always key, but I also do believe that sometimes a little, I don't know, it's done me personally no harm because I think it's actually, it's given me good armour for these things that just continually happen in life. I'm sure that I'm happy today. But I'm sure there'll be another setback at some point in the future.
Yeah.
And I feel like every knockback or every failure, I've just been built up to, you know, deal with it. It's interesting because I've got loads of nieces and nephews now at school and I was really sporty as a kid. I always wanted to get first place, always was striving for that, like, certificate position. And I never even got... The highest position I got was fourth.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I don't even get a certificate.
Yeah, so deep.
So annoying. And now I've got nieces and nephews in school and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, how did you do in the race? And, like, my little nephew is like eight and he's just like, yeah, I got a certificate. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So what was that? Second? Third? And he was like, nah, like eighth. Everyone gets a certificate. I was like, nah.
Oh my God.
No, not everyone gets a certificate. Why is everyone getting a certificate?
Do you think we've got a pamper generation?
Like that, I'm like, nah. So maybe I'm tough.
No, I think again.
I just believe that you need to know from a very young age, actually, first place is not the same as last place.
That's
yeah? Get to know. It's not the same. It feels different. And I think if you have that feeling of last place, you want to strive for first place. Whereas if you have a feeling now of coming last, but you still get a certificate, where's your drive coming from?
That is, you have a point.
So maybe I'm going to be tough like that.
Do you think it sounds like you believe our current generation is a bit too sensitive.
Definitely going to be. Yeah, sometimes.
I do think the idea, I mean, what I think everything should have is just a bit of nuance, some discretion. For example, if there was a kid who, from paying attention as a teacher or form tutor over the course of the year, would feel might be actually quite disheartened by being in last place or da 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 da, then yes. You do something for him.
That's
but
true.
Like if it's just a straight up race and the kid just got to feel a bit of pain and it's a tough one because I'm incredibly hard on myself and that's probably why I've been able to do certain things to a degree, but like it sometimes removes, you know, that's what I mean about balance. Like, I don't have that other bit where I give myself a fucking break. I can literally do something incredible in my life and be like,
not good
and then
enough.
It's like, what, Jordan? What is it? I just like, well, just, you know. Yeah.
Could be better.
Yeah. Not perfect.
Could have just been a bit better. Oh, yeah, mate. No, I hear you on that.
It's tough. Although I will also say that one of my pet hates, that's a double entendre as well, one of my pet hates at the moment is dog owners who are overprotective of their dogs.
But how so?
I was actually trying to think of if that paralleled to human. I thought to myself, is that something I've got to look at myself and my behaviour, like as a future parent, that I get frustrated with someone being protective of their dog? Like it, because it's like, I've got a mongrel, I think he's a collie retriever called Spike. He's a beautiful black dog, like, you know, kind of mid to large. I mean, maybe on account of him being a black dog, I don't know if that's a thing, but like he might look, if you didn't meet him, because he's the most gentle, placid, like gorgeous dog, but maybe on account of he looks a bit wolfy, you know?
Okay.
But like I literally was walking in the other day and like this woman had a Doberman. Do you know what
What's that?
Like, it's like sometimes hired as a guard dog. Like it's a big boy, right? But it was like a puppy Doberman. And then the Doberman's like lay down when he's seen Spike because they're like getting used to each other. And then it's like, excuse me, is your dog friendly? And I was like, yeah, he's friendly. She's like, okay. And then they start playing. And basically when dogs play rough, boy or girl, like I've seen Spike get seckled by some female dog. Like seriously, seriously. Like boy or girl, there's none of that. Like unless I suppose they're in season, there's a different dynamic. But like they go, if they're about the same size, they go rough. It's part of it. Like they just, but
they're dogs, yeah.
Yeah, but you can tell literally by the difference between a dog fight and them fighting because they stop. You know, they can be like all biting each other's necks and they'll just stop and have a breather. And every time one of them growls, like, okay. And I was just like, yo, your Doberman is fucked, man. Like, seriously. Because you manifest that kind of energy. Do you know what I mean? You manifest that thing of like, you need to allow this space for the Doberman to understand what it does and doesn't like. If you're going to jump in with a dog that's clearly placid and friendly, because there's a... I just thought, I was trying to parallel that with human life. I suppose it kind of goes even back to the thing about bullies or space or, you know, allowing a child at that a young age. Is it okay for us to allow children to feel truly disappointed?
Yeah.
Or truly, you know what I mean? And just provide a space for them to know how to deal with that emotion rather than stop it in the first place.
Yeah, I think it is important to feel a sense of failure, to feel a sense of...
Yeah,
and disappointment as well. Again, in our school that I was raised in, they had the thing called Worker of the Week.
Yeah.
I always felt like I worked really, really hard. I was like, but I never won Worker of the Week, went through. And honestly, this certificate started getting handed out from reception. So I went through reception, year one, year two, year... The years, and imagine as a kid as well, weeks are just so long. And I was like, I am really going for it. At the end of the week, you'd win a certificate, you get a round of applause from the assembly hall, the whole school, and you'd get a Mars bar as well.
How many black girls were there in the school?
Just me, my younger sister, in the whole school. Me and my younger sister, and then my big brother. But I didn't even think of it as a racial thing of anything like that. I genuinely didn't. But I remember when I got to year three, I had this teacher called Mrs. Jackson, and I just was like, Miss, please can we have a word? I literally was like, how do I get Worker of the Week? I'm missing something. Like,
what did she say?
And she listed it. She was like, AJ, you do try hard. You're not wrong. But what you don't do is stop talking. You always talk. Oh, you're very vocal. And I'd be like, yeah, but I do my work. And she's like, yeah, but it
distracts
others.
You're like the Hermione Granger.
Yeah, she's like, it's distracting of others. You can do work and talk, but not other people. So you've got to be quiet. It was the hardest week of my life, but I did it. I did it. I stopped talking and then I got the certificate and then I just never did it again.
Really?
I was like, that's hard.
Done.
No talking. Nah, man, it's not for me.
Not worth it.
It's not for me.
I had like, I think in school, I don't know if I've said this on a podcast before. I can't remember. Have I ever spoken about that climate change thing where I won that competition? No? I have, yeah. So like in school.
I've not heard it.
In school, I remember I actually, by the end of, I mean, year 10, year 11, I actually had specific teachers who like actively disliked me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was really good extracurricularly.
Yeah.
But I was I had ADHD that wasn't necessarily managing very well. We didn't have much money as well, so I was buying unhealthy food at lunch, and now just my energy levels all over the place.
Mm.
But I did so much work extracurricularly that they had to make an award for me when I left school, and it was one of the best feelings in the world. Because it was like, it was embarrassing for the school to not, because I was always late, so I couldn't get the punctuality award. Sometimes I didn't come in because I was working at home. Hilarious. Hilarious decision as a 15-year-old. So I'm working from the office today. I couldn't get like I was absent too much to get the attendance award.
Punctuality or attendance,
I wasn't made a senior student, actually made a decision to not put me as a senior student because they thought that would go to my head. That's what they said.
Wow.
But one kid who did.
That happened to me. I wasn't made a prefect as a result. They're trying to get us down, Jordan.
Brother, that's what I'm trying to say.
And like, they're trying to get us down.
Trust me. And And like, you know.
For the same reason.
Yeah.
Like, she'll be too confident. What? Fine.
I'm sensing another undercurrent there. I'm just saying. I'm just fucking saying. But anyway, this, I know it gets deeper with the guy who did it to me as well, because he ended up getting in some trouble with that. But anyway, so I wasn't allowed to be a senior student. And I have to try and be polite about this, but some people who are senior student, it stretched. It wasn't like there was this I was a bit like, oh, but that's where you're, okay. That's where your levels are at. All right, you know, just. That's fine, that's fine. I don't mind, you know, just in every sports team and top of every class, but whatever.
Exactly, Jordan, but, I feel you.
No, but anyway, so I didn't get any of that. I'd represented the school at quite a high level, so they had to make a significant contribution to community award or something, and I was just like, I wasn't even there to pick it up.
This is what I'm saying. Your blessings cannot be blocked. They can't block your blessings.
Nah, but
this is the thing. It's impossible.
Nah,
this
but
is
I will.
I, mean.
I will. What message from that though I get is that like, yeah, I think especially with school, because there's a lot of pressures of exams and whatever else. But I think that people should just be encouraged to try and listen to their gut as much as possible, because I think when something comes along that you're genuinely interested in, you can feel it.
Yeah,
and I think when you get that feeling, even if you're unsure about it, just start doing it more.
Exactly.
For you, that was probably talking.
It was talking. but this is the thing, right? Like, I'd say, luckily for me, I had, like, my family. So my mum would always say to me, AJ, you know that, like, every time you talk in class, like, they're marking you down and... you know, you're the black girl of the class as well. So
stay quiet.
You're like, you stand out anyway. So you don't need any more excuse for them to give you any negative attention. And you're just doing it to yourself, basically. So in school, sometimes that what has taught me about school and that structure is that sometimes you don't want to do certain things, but you just have to in order to get by in life. We do need to learn how to do
people
that.
People start getting to shrink, innit?
But at the same time, luckily for me, my mum, very, very diplomatic, would go into school parents' evening and be like, yes, I know, I'm so sorry about the talk. Oh, really going to have some stern words with her and come back to me and be like, look, yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. You know, I know that you like talking. It's good. Keep it going. Just, you know, pipe down from time to time. As long as you're doing your... My mum only cared about grades. So as long as my grades were good, she was like, whatever, you're learning. So it's on them. Me. Yeah, it was funny. But I believe that school and school teachers, actually, they don't realise sometimes just how much power they have. So I remember the teachers who said to me, you're going to fail, you're not going to become anything.
Wow.
This attitude. I love know that. Those teachers, but I also know the teachers like Miss Taylor, Miss Jackson, like Mr. Bealby, like these teachers celebrated me, and they just knew. They just was like, yeah, she's a handful, but she's going to be great. Like, they knew. And I was like, yes, you only need a handful of people to, like, really celebrate you. Yeah. And then you just keep it going.
That is...
And you do. I feel like, yeah, it's possible to have it all, so to speak.
Yeah, no, of course. And so doing four music, I want to get into that a little bit. You're a music fan.
Yeah, I love
Imagine
music.
If you weren't.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, just like, no, I don't like music, no.
Don't like it. It's an accident.
What's your relationship like between music and mental health? Like, do you...
I think it's great.
Yeah, are there like particularly... is there a song or an artist or an album that is reflective of like a tough time or a good time?
Yeah.
Is there stuff you can't listen to anymore?
There's nothing that I can't listen to anymore. But say, for example, Adele.
Yeah.
And Coldplay.
That's like two stone cold
my breakup songs. Yeah, like I'll just never forget.
Wasn't Cardi B, no.
No, it was sadly not Cardi B. But it's amazing how like music.
Mine was actually Cardi B, I'm not even joking.
Is it? What?
I went for a really bad breakup and I was like, Lil, you can't fuck me if you wanted to.
Yeah. But then that's quite empowering though. They're like, I go through the phase. So in my time of healing, I need to feel sad.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll be like, just embrace the sadness. Let's whack on Coldplay. Let's whack on Adele. These are people who are depicting my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're going through it just like me. I am Adele right now. I am on that 6-hour train back to Blackburn. Let me cry.
Yeah.
Let me put that on repeat.
Love
Let
that.
Me just hear it again and again.
Love
and just
that.
Cry uncontrollably. And then, you know... Eventually, like a week later, it's Beyonce to the left,
Beyonce.
To the left. Yeah, keep it moving. I don't need you anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it goes through the empowering
All
stage.
My single ladies.
Yes, exactly.
Even though she wasn't single.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't single, but she was singing to me. Do you know what I mean? She was like, AJ, I got you. Yeah. I'm here for you. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's
and
real.
It is interesting that... Yeah. Oh, what is it?
Is there any new
artists? There's this song, there? Loads of like rap music as well, some of it. I love it because it's kind of like, it's confidence in just every form. I love it. What is that song?
I don't know. You're not specifying any part
so
of it.
So annoying. I've got it on my iPad.
Damn it. I guarantee I'll get it if you
will. Will you?
Yeah.
I can buy a Bentley, don't talk to me.
Okay, no.
That one. I don't know, it's just
who's
quite funny.
Who's it by?
I don't know.
Brilliant.
Don't know.
Right, well, if it's anyone like, knows...
It's like, my bitch drives an all-white Range. You couldn't even hit it if you even had aim. I can buy you a Bentley, don't talk to me. Like, I don't know, basically, it's this guy, and he is seriously... Oh, yes, this is a song!
Big Bank.
Big Bank, yes. Two Chains. Two Chains.
Yeah,
right, Two Chains. Yeah, it's Big Bank featuring 2 Chainz and Big Sean and Nicki Minaj. Guys, listen to that song.
You had it then, you lost it. Hall of Shame.
Yeah, it's cocky and I love it. Let's get the lyrics up. I love it. It's very empowering for me.
Everything proper, no propaganda. Tropicana, Goyard, bandana. Big sack, a lot of hoes like Santa. Threw a birthday party in a phantom. Big shit like a dinosaur did it. And you know, titty shining like acrylic. Yeah, I sold dope. I had cornrows. I can see you and... I don't like saying the...
Don't say it. Don't say it.
I can see you and hating with the door closed. Now I'm looking for a glove with a sparkle on it. And my CBD got chocolate on it. I mean, lovely. Big bank takes small ass shit. Bank account and some tall ass shit. But bear in mind, 2 Chainz is also the rapper who, despite some, in my eyes, deficiencies in certain, he did also come in on a feature once, though, and first of all, I'm swagging. And I was like, and I'm a 2 Chainz fan now, I'd say, because I get his whole personality.
Yeah.
But like, at that point, I was a cynic. And then he dropped that bar and I was like... I don't think you can say any more. Like, that is...
Yeah.
What more do you need to say in a feature verse ever? First of all, I'm swagging.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think I do love, like, hip-hop
as a result.
Because they are cocky. Cocky and arrogant and confident and just like, you can't chat to me.
I know, but I would like there to be some kind of balance in terms of, like, you know, understanding that also vulnerability is a strength.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but that's why
respecting
definitely
all parts of our society.
100%, but
apart from suits.
Yeah, but then sometimes
apart from suits.
I don't know, it's interesting because like in terms of music, the way I consume it at least, it's not literally.
I know, do you know what I mean? I do. You love words.
Yeah. Oh, you take it really literally.
Yeah, of course. I think words are magic. Powerful words,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, 100%.
If you change the way people speak to each other and you change society, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But I would also say that sometimes you've got to look at the context of the word.
Yeah.
So don't just look at the word
and
the derogatory terms.
Yeah.
Look at the context and actually it's not necessarily always a put down.
Yeah.
It's a big up.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
And like,
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. In certain moods, I'm like, I'm epic. I'm great. First of all, I'm swagging. You sing along to it. So you're like, actually, I am swagging.
Okay, I've got to ask you 2 quick questions that I ask everyone. They're a bit random. What's your favourite colour?
My favourite colour is yellow.
Oh, that's the colour of positivity.
Yeah.
Or motive, I think, yeah.
Is it?
It's proven to...
Yeah, I love
increase.
It. Yellow. But currently I'm like doing up my house and it's orange. Orange are the
orange
tones.
Is grey.
Yeah. Love orange as well. Bright colours. I love bright colours.
Why?
Because I find it uplifting.
Yeah.
And blue. Like a lovely blue. Like when I wake up.
Like a baby blue.
Like a baby blue. When I wake up and the sky is blue.
Yeah, I
actually say out loud, what a beautiful day.
Yeah.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah, you're right.
And it is.
All right, what's your favourite shape?
Oh, don't know.
It can be abstract if you want.
Don't know. Like, favourite shape, probably like a triangle.
Why?
Because it's pointy and sharp.
Brilliant.
it's pointy, sharp, but like it's big, big inside. Like big heart, big misunderstood shape, that. Don't you think? It's not simple. Can't slot into things. It's always going to stand out. It's not like Tetris. It's not like a square or rectangle. You can just slot in. Imagine having like a triangle shaped settee.
I thought you were going to say friend then.
Yeah. What is the triangle
shape? Imagine if you had a triangular shaped, you know, dog.
Like, what's that all about? All right, AJ, we've spoken extensively. I love it. I could talk to you for a lot longer as well. But,
yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, have you actually?
I have. Honestly, it's been like therapy to me.
Great.
This has been a free therapy session. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not free.
What?
Yeah.
Am I getting billed?
Yeah, you have to pay me for this shit. I kid. If anything, I should...
No, it's good. I've loved the conversation. It's good to talk. It's good to talk about like your past, your present, your future. What
are there any messages for your? Is there a message to leave your fans with, or people who are might be in a similar position to where you have been, where you are? Little thing.
I would say always give yourself time to heal. Always stay focused. Don't look to see what anyone else is doing apart from you. You're only in competition with you.
Don't watch face.
And celebrate you. Like, embrace yourself and give yourself a pat on the back, even if you do it quietly and privately. You are valued. You are worthwhile. You are here.
Yes, self-worth.
You are great. Yes, you're great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.